Welcome, eagles and eaglets,
to another edition of Road Noise.
This is Will.
This is Jay.
And eagle families, yesterday was Ash Wednesday. And for many Christians around the world, that is the start of a season called Lent. Now, a lot of us, Jay and I, we've spent a lot of time in the Churches of Christ as our primary tradition. In other traditions, Lent plays a bigger role, but I want to give you kind of a quick background on Lent and why maybe a lot of people in your circles right now, and perhaps your family right now, is considering a time of stepping back and maybe turning something off. So Lent typically goes for about 40 days. It is a remembrance and recognition of Christ's wandering in the wilderness for 40 days and his fasting and efforts as he was tempted by the devil. The way Lent is typically done today is a lead up to Easter. So I don't think it's exactly 40 days, maybe 44 days. And the idea is that we are preparing our hearts and minds for what it is that we celebrate on Easter Sunday, which of course is the death of Christ, but more importantly, his defeat of death and resurrection. We've got an interesting conversation coming up next week on a case study on this regard that Jay himself is engaged in. But I thought to get our minds ready in a bite-sized episode this week, no pun intended, Jay might talk to us a little bit about one central idea of Lent, and that is fasting.
Yeah, I think fasting is something that we read about, we hear about in Scripture, certainly. Maybe we know some people adjacent to us who fast from some things, but I don't know. Do you get the impression that that's a regular thing that a lot of Christians are doing today, fasting?
I know we don't do it regularly.
Yeah, I don't.
Not systemically, anyway. We do it sometimes, but it feels more maybe reactive for my family than...
Okay. I remember the first time that I heard about it, I was a brand new Christian in college, and my church was considering something, so we fasted for 3 days. And so very early on, I was like, oh, this is something that churches do. But since, I've been a part of three other churches, and I rarely hear about it.
Sometimes around a big decision. You're adding new elders or considering some kind of move as a congregation.
Sure. Which is great.
Yeah.
Highly encourage that. But when you read the New Testament, you get the impression that people are doing this all the time. It's so much a rhythm of people's lives that Jesus's opponents are kind of questioning him about it. So I'm going to read a passage from Mark chapter 2. Now, John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and people came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day." Which gives us a clue, I hope, to what fasting is supposed to do for us, which is to bring us into the presence of Christ. So Jesus is saying, my disciples don't fast because they don't have to. Like, I'm here. And as long as I'm here, why would they fast? Because the fasting is this thing that bends my mind towards Christ and hopefully my body too. When we talk about fasting from a biblical perspective, it's food. You're going without food.
And maybe water.
You could.
In miraculous cases.
Sure. I don't recommend that you do that.
No, you can't do that physically.
No.
But Moses does it.
Yeah. So fasting is this thing where we give something up because we are trying to more regularly put ourselves in the presence of Christ, more mindful of Christ. So food is this very basic need of humanity. And when we go without it, we can't help but notice that.
Right.
If I'm fasting from, I don't know, Blow Pops, maybe I don't recognize that very often.
That's your go-to is Blow Pops?
No.
You're having way too many Blow Pops, if that's your...
No doubt. Hey, there's somebody out there like, yep.
Yeah,
I know what he's talking about.
Cut back on those
Big League Chew. I know what he's talking about. So this thing that is such a normal part of our life, we stop doing that. And then when we're hungry, right, when our stomach is rumbling, then we're thinking, why am I doing this? Because I'm devoting myself more to the stuff of Christ. So when that happens, I'm prayerful. I open my scripture. I'm just mindful of Christ and his good work in my life and in the world. So this practice of Lent and fasting from something for 40 days is that when I'm thinking about that thing, when I recognize its absence from my life, hopefully I'm recognizing the presence of Jesus. So yeah, Jesus is doing this from food for 40 days. I've talked to a few people who have tried this. They've done it.
For 40 days?
40 days without food. I've heard people talk about it, leaders of ministries and things. And it is this really profound thing. Like, they are changed forever. I'm not recommending people go without food for 40 days. That's not the fast that we're challenging people to. That is a major commitment. Talk to your doctor.
And it's dangerous.
It is dangerous. This is something that Jesus does. So when he is about to start his public ministry, we find Jesus in the desert. Mm-hmm. Fasting, preparing. Now, there's all kinds of things that are a part of that. Jesus is, in effect, reenacting the Israelites' 40 years in the desert.
Uh-huh.
He's the new Moses, right? We see Jesus very often spending time in the presence of the Father before big events, before he starts his ministry, before he chooses his 12, before he goes to the cross. Jesus is spending this time away from other people and in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that's fasting, some of that's not. So what we want to do is just get you thinking about fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you said next week I've got a case study to talk about, which is a fast that my family is currently going through right now. Not food,
mm-hmm.
but something else. We've been doing this thing for 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
It will be a month when we talk about it next week. And it's been profound, all positive. So be thinking about fasting this week, families. And as we lead up to Easter, if you really feel like God is putting this on your heart to give something up in the lead up to Easter, by all means, lean into that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is only going to bring you closer to Christ and make you think about him and his life and his presence more.
Yeah. And I think as you consider fasting and what you might fast from, we have had so many conversations about how sometimes our hearts are bent towards something other than God. And so often that's the very thing we need to fast from.
Mm.
For early followers of Christ and for the Jewish people, food had a different connotation than it does to us today. Food was something that if you had it in abundance, it might be something that you lean on for your sense of security, your sense of abundance, your sense of worth and joy and all of those things. In modern America, it doesn't have that connotation for all of us.
Sure.
So a lot of times I think it's the things that we have made God that sometimes we don't want to admit, but this consumes the time that I need to clarify my focus on my God. I'm going to set it aside for a little bit so that I can do that. And before we close on this little bite-sized episode, I'd encourage families to look at one story in Acts because it's not typically brought up as a fasting story, but it has struck me as I think on this concept. In Acts 9, when Saul is on the road to Damascus, and Jesus appears to him, and he goes blind. And Saul's actively persecuting Christians at this point. So God is going to call him to the most extreme about face, perhaps in all of Scripture. You're going to go from the chief persecutor of Christians to the chief advocate of the new way. Acts 9, verse 5, he says, "Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told all that you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. And then this is what's interesting to me. For 3 days, he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. It doesn't say, so I'm reading between the lines here, but Paul is a Jew among Jews. He knows the rhythms in which you come in contact with the divine and find clarity. And here he's just had this prophetic vision and his whole world has been rocked. And so what does he do? Scripture doesn't suggest that he went blind and also lost his appetite. I mean, maybe he did, but part of me wonders, was this a time of remorse, confession, and clarification for Paul? Like, this is a time for me to refocus.
I think it is. And when you get to the end of that story, it talks about that Paul receiving a sight was like scales falling from his eyes. He had been blinded to something, and then he was actually blinded.
You're nailing it. So Jay and I have just been in sync lately. That's exactly what I wanted to point to, because as you consider why you might fast, and as we consider the conversation we're going to have about your family's fast next week, I think part of what you need to imagine forward into is what scales are on your eyes.
Yeah.
And how excited would you be as an individual and as a family if they fell away and you had a new clarity on divine presence and divine purpose in your life, and fasting may be part of the road.
Sure. A clarity to what is really getting in the way. I didn't know this thing was in the
way. Yeah, you don't know it's in the way.
Until I gave it up. I'm excited to share about that next week because I feel like this is something my family is realizing through our fast. We didn't realize how much time or whatever we were giving to these things, and now we have all this other time, new time, to give to really good stuff, the stuff of God.
Yeah. Jay, it's been a good bite-sized discussion. I'm going to let you close us out. Here we go.
Families, as always, we consider it a privilege and honor that you join us for these. We just wanted to give you something new to think about this week. In the weeks leading up to Easter, maybe God is calling us to give something up so that when we recognize the yearning and longing for that thing, instead of our minds going to that, our minds can be freed to think about the things of God. Thank you for joining us today.
Have a great week.